Well, that guy's gone, but they did make some additions at the wide receiver position. Talking about the Washington Commanders today on the countdown to kickoff. Joe O, Sammy P, welcome back. This is Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. Here with you weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, BetMGMNetwork.com, at the BetMGM Network, YouTube, and Twitch. And today we bring in our teammate Michael Jenkins at JanksDC over on X. You hear him mornings on the Daily Tip, and he's a Commanders pregame radio host. How you doing, Jenks? Here we go. Wait, we were talking to him during the break, and now we can't hear him? This is perfect.
It's tough.
Classic. Classic.
First and last time on the show on Bet Sweats.
Now? Yes.
His fault? Yeah, we got you now.
Oh, Phoenix. I
stunk, sir.
Never the MVP, Phoenix. Never. All right, we're back.
So you don't have
well,
to
thanks
deal
for
with
joining
that.
Us. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Jenks. We'll talk to you never again. That was great.
Oh, I'm not on? No? No?
No, you're good now. You're good. Okay. Just like okay. We built up for an hour that we're going to talk to the handsome, great Michael Jenkins and, you know, just nothing.
It's unbelievable. We were, I swear to God, were we, like you were saying, weren't we good like a minute and a half ago? Everybody was talking. We were having a good time.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm here now. Good to see you boys.
All right. Good. Good. All right. Let's try to rebound. We can do that with the Commandos.
Yeah.
Tell us why. I know you're probably sick of hearing it. A lot of
no, it's okay.
Are sick of hearing it. But tell me why they're not the Texans of last year. Not that the Texans were bad, but they weren't the team that people were expecting.
You know why? It's that Jaden Daniels is it's hard to describe to people like his work ethic, because you know, whenever you hear like about a rookie, like I was saying this on our show a couple weeks ago, like I was reading through the rookie reports of every rookie, every first round rookie in the NFL, and it was great work ethic, ready to learn, showing up and doing his job, comes to the locker room early. And you hear so many cliches that you're like, well, how many of these are true and how many of these are just a bunch of BS? Jaden Daniels, even beginning last year, was the first guy to show up. And even now, he and Cliff Kingsbury are in the bubble at practice, working plays out, talking about what they want to do, what they don't want to do. Jaden Daniels, one thing I think is super underreported about him is that he uses this VR headset, which he's been using, I think, since he was at LSU. And he works on everything in this VR headset at like a quarter and a half speed, or like, you know, 1.5 times normal playtime. So when he's actually in the game, everything slows down for him. Like, he's constantly working at this really high level that I don't think people realize, because you hear all these cliches. He really is the first guy there. In fact, the Commanders have made it a point, let's not really force this guy into the spotlight. Like, we'll let him go if he wants. He's going to get it naturally. But let him quietly do his thing, because he's about the work. He doesn't have a lot of sponsorships. He's just so focused on the game that he's just – I mean, he's coming off arguably the greatest rookie season in NFL history. That's not me as a Commanders fan. You look at all the metrics, you essentially see that. So when people say he's just different than other quarterbacks, he really is different. And he's poised to take that next step, because now he and Cliff Kingsbury are working in simpatico and working on really expanding the offense and using some of the play calls and play designs they didn't get to use last year.
So I brought up the VR stuff in the first hour, and I just
want to
confirm that Jenks is not my source, boys and girls. In all seriousness, he is not.
Yeah.
He is not the person that told me this, but I'd like to expand upon this, because I was told, and you said, you know, 1.25, 1.5. The term that I heard was they are cranking the VR up to super speed, and they are able to throw whatever they want at him. Like, all right, you think this is cover two? Here's an all-out blitz. And he has to react.
Yeah.
I was told he's improvising like a vet. And the most telling line that I heard talking to somebody around the Commanders is that nobody in that building thinks last season was a fluke. Those are powerful things to hear around a very young quarterback.
You're exactly right. And I'm glad you said that. And I'm glad you clarified that I'm not the source. So I'm glad you got independent verification of that, because it's wild to think about that you go into an NFL game, which is being an NFL quarterback, as we know, it's the most difficult position in sports. And this guy's going in there and things are slowing down for him. Like he carries himself in a way that is just unlike many rookies I think you'll ever see. And all of the organization, they know they have someone special. I think the thing that stood out to me is, you know, going, I'm out in Ashburn where they practice at least once a week. I was there throughout training camp, and you just didn't hear anything about Jaden. It was about, okay, the contract situation with Terry McLaurin, or, hey, is the defensive line, are they going to be able to stop the run this season? Or, oh, that secondary is revamped, and all those things are true. But why is it that we aren't hearing about Jaden Daniels? And it's because, to a man, whether it's one of his teammates, whether it's people in the organization, then, like, I mean, just look at him. What is there to say? He's going to be better than he was last year. And they all, and this is also a franchise, as you know, that has struggled to find a quarterback for the better part of a decade. I mean, RG3 was probably the guy who had the, you know, the most recent potential. That was years ago, and then he flamed out quickly. But yes, you're absolutely right. There is a belief to a person in this organization that he is special beyond special. And we're going to see something from him that we have seen from few quarterbacks to ever play this game. And frankly, that's a lot of hyperbole, but I buy it.
Talking Commanders with Jenks here. Countdown to kickoff. Joe O, Sammy P here on Bet Sweats. Okay, so we all know the importance of the quarterback. And when you find mm-hmm. that dude, it changes everything. But just looking back for one more moment before we look ahead to this season, other big change. Remove Daniels from the conversation.
Okay.
Is it Quinn replacing Rivera? Is it Kingsbury as the OC instead of Bieniemy? Or is it Josh Harris as owner replacing Snyder?
Oh, that's a good question. It's Josh Harris. Like, that's what it is. Like, I can tell you, remember, wasn't it 3 years ago, like right before Josh Harris took over this team, that the fans were collapsing on the field? Like, Jalen Hurts almost got hurt because the actual, you know, stands were collapsing. They had raw sewage running, you know, down onto the field. They released that ridiculous, that insulting sculpture of Sean Taylor, which looked like a mannequin at Macy's, and now they're going to redo that whole thing. Like, I was there right after Josh Harris took over, and I mean, immediately, I had a guy come up to me who was a consultant. His name was Tom Brady, oddly enough. And he pulled me aside. And I'm just a part-time guy. I'm just doing a podcast. He sat down with me for 10, 15 minutes, wanted to know all of my thoughts, what I thought of the organization, what I thought of the inner workings of the organization, what my personal experience was like. And this is not someone who works there full-time. Like, they immediately went to work. They've spent millions just on sort of upkeeping a stadium that's going to be replaced anyway. The practice facility is completely different. And the first couple weeks I walked in, there was someone polishing the Super Bowl trophies. Like, there was no media there. They weren't doing it for show. I walked in and someone's like, it's going to be different now. And so from the top down, as far as investing money, as far as bringing in Dan Quinn, as far as bringing in Adam Peters to actually draft guys who know what they're talking about, football guys, that's where it starts. That would not have happened without Josh Harris. So I think that's the answer.
I like over 9.5. I'm pumping the brakes mm-hmm. on conference champ, Super Bowl champ. But if it happens, I don't know that I'd be surprised, but I'm just not there yet.
Yeah.
That said, for anybody on the fence on the 9.5, is probably on the fence because of Terry McLaurin, who has mm-hmm. been a 1,000-yard guy in 5 straight years. 13 touchdown catches last year. He's back in the mix, right? By the time we get to week one, is he yeah. going to be playing?
I think he has to. And he's gained a little more leverage, I will say, as training camp has gone on, because they need depth. Like, they just don't have depth at receiver. Noah Brown is their number 3. He hasn't played yet. He's returning from a leg injury. You've got Debo who's in there. But I will say that there have been times during training camp where Jaden looks great, but it's like, who is this guy throwing to? They need Terry McLaurin. And the thing about Terry is, he definitely wants to be here. Like, it's really strange to watch him, like, mill around practice in his hoodie. And like, he built his career here. His family's here. He said that. So I think something gets worked out. And when that does, that offense is going to, I think, go to a different level. And also, I know the Commanders haven't looked great in the preseason. And they definitely have some weaknesses. But also, they didn't play 30 players in week one. They didn't play 33 players last week. So I know preseason is always kind of a touch and go as far as to, you know, how much you put into it. But I wouldn't worry too much about what you've seen from the Commanders in the preseason. I think Terry re-signs, and they're going to be fine.
All right, what about the other side of the ball, though? We're not talking probably enough about that. I have a lot of questions about Dan Quinn's defense. This mm-hmm. is an old defense, Jenks. Why is it going to be better?
They're definitely going to be better in the secondary. There's no question about that, because at the end of last year, Marshon Lattimore was playing, but he wasn't healthy. They got Trey Amos out of Ole Miss, and he's going to be an absolute stud. Like, from moment one, he's been a shutdown guy, or looked like that guy. And then Mikey Sanger still, which they got last year in the second round out of Michigan. He started off in the slot but can play anywhere. So that secondary is going to be really good. The problem is the defensive line, and it was a problem last year. Even, you know, look, even though it's a preseason, at some point you want to see your guys put a helmet on someone, put their mouthpiece in, and stop the opposing offense, especially when the Ravens are just lining up with a fullback and running back and just running right down the gut at them. So that's a real issue of concern. They've tried to address that. You know, they brought in Von Miller. They've got Javon Kinlaw. But even Kinlaw has a lot to prove. Von Miller is not the Von Miller of old. And we have seen teams run it right up the gut against the Commanders. And they especially did it last year during the fourth quarter. So the Commanders are going to go with, yeah, we got our starters, but we're going to have just a bunch of big guys rotate in throughout the entire game, and maybe in that respect we wear you down. It's a bold strategy, Cotton, but that is a big weakness. You're not wrong about that.
I was amazed last year. We got to the halfway point of the season, and you saw how many times Dan Quinn and Kingsbury went for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, maybe 23 isn't the biggest number, but Dan Quinn used to punt from your 40. You know, so I just like, it was, I was like, whoa, like it's fourth and one at midfield and Dan Quinn's got the offense out there. He must be drinking. No, they were very metrically driven and very analytically savvy. I guess my question is, where did that come from?
I think it's Jaden Daniels, which I know it sounds like the obvious answer here, but it really is him. And now they have the thing with Cliff Kingsbury is that, and it's one of the reasons why they traded Brian Robinson, right? Like, he's a good running back, but he doesn't fit in with what they want to do. They want more of a home run hitter. They want guys who have more speed who can take it to the house. But I think on a fourth down, look, Jaden Daniels, whenever you see a running quarterback in the NFL, we see this all the time, right? A guy who can run it. So this guy uses his legs. It's like, yes, but he's a passer first. However, there's no question, just like a Lamar Jackson, who has been great throwing the ball over the past couple seasons, if Jaden wants to take off, he can take off. So I think that's the real difference maker on fourth down, where they believe in him so much. It's okay, if this play doesn't work the way we plan it to go, we've got a guy who can improvise already with the best in the NFL. So I think it's the trust in him that is the big difference on fourth down. And I think because they've improved the offense this season as far as their playmakers, I don't see that changing a whole lot.
I'm glad you brought up Robinson. So help us out at running back. You know, you still have Eckler, but everybody's aware that he's more of a pass catcher anyways. Like, if you're looking at prop bets in the season or prop, you know, once we go game by game to score a touchdown or something like that, if you're going to move on from Robinson, that tells me at this point, okay, we've got a plan. We've got a guy that we really like moving forward. Who's going to be that guy out of the backfield?
It's going to take a few weeks, Joe, but it's Dracorre Crosky Merritt is who it is, which everybody calls Bill because he wants to be called Bill. And the reason why he wants to be called Bill is because when he was a kid, he had his head shaved and he reminded everyone of the cartoon Lil Bill. And so everybody calls him Bill, and he'll tell you, just call me Bill. So nobody's calling him Dracorre Crosky Merritt. It's Bill Crosky Merritt, but they love him. They love him. And we saw in the preseason, like, he looked really good. It's going to take a minute because they'll probably rotate with Eckler and Chris Rodriguez, but they think they got an absolute steal in the seventh round. And the only reason why he went that late is because he played a single game last year for Arizona because of academic issues. If he plays more, he goes way earlier than the seventh round, but they love Bill, as they call him here in DC. And it's not going to surprise me if by midseason, I don't want to say bell cow because they want to spread around carries, but I think he could end up getting the bulk of the carries in that offense.
No, the good thing about the NFL, you don't have to go to class. And that's probably that's exactly a good thing for Bill. I won a fantasy league 8 years ago because of Chris Thompson. I think I'm going to take Bill in a couple drafts this year if he's available. We have about a minute left. I know he's in the studio, so this may be difficult. But if Dogster had a Commander's pick, what do you think he would say this year, over or under 9.5?
The Dogster, what he would say is, let's see, what would the Dogster say? Over, under?
I think you're asking the wrong question. The question is, how many ladies am I going to be with before next Tuesday? Over or under? 9.5. I'm going with the over.
Me too.
Here you go, boys.
Very good. Michael Jenkins, wow. Check him out, the Daily Tip, before Bet's Wets each and every day. Thanks, Jenks. Always appreciate it. Joe O. Sammy P. This is Bet's Wets.